Welcome. I'm so excited to have the opportunity to sit down and speak to you, Dr. Joy. Can you please, now I've done my research on your beautiful self, and you are a goddess expert, and you are also a sexologist, and you are a couples therapist. So can you give us a little background? Tell us who you are.
Sure. Yes. So I'm Dr. Joy. I've been in private practice in South Florida for about 8-9 years. And so when I opened my practice, I opened it with relationships in mind. So that meant maybe working with individuals, maybe working with couples. And over time, I could see that my specialty really was working with my goddesses, right? And how we identify ourselves through our relationships, how we are a reflection of our relationships. And we can keep a lot of the messaging and the stories from either our original love story, which would be like our, you know, our love story that we saw with our parents, our community, right, our culture, or it could be with our teenage adult relationships, where we just identify a lot of like what we deserve and what's possible for us from these smaller spaces, and then we keep repeating them, right? And so I really wanted to be able to help my goddesses see themselves, remember themselves as who they are, and that there is no limit in terms of like how they're supposed to be loved, how they can love, and just the world and the tribe that they can create for themselves. And so I pretty much have grown from there. With my practice, when you see that I shift and I pivot, it's because life shifts and pivots for me. And when I do something that works for me, when I start understanding what it is to be mindful, what it is for me to be spiritual or to be aligned, I can't help but bring that to my practice, because you know, you move differently when you see things differently. And so that's kind of how the shifts have happened, where marriage and family therapist, a dating coach, now sexologist, you know, having the PhD to, so I can really understand how we are with our sensuality. And now what I actually utilize all of that for is I'm a certified sensual yoga, trauma-informed sensual yoga instructor. So I actually utilize all of the education that I've had to work with my goddesses around their erotic embodiment and really being in their bodies. And it seems so simple, like, oh, now I'm just a yoga instructor, but not just. It's a very powerful space to really work with everybody around their somatics. So I'm all the things.
You're all the things, and I love it. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to speak to you about this specific topic. And I guess I would say topics, because masturbation, money, and mental health, to me, all play a part. You know, they are all intertwined. And I know for me, growing up, especially in the Black community, those are things that we do not discuss, okay? We don't discuss masturbation. Nobody explained to me what that was, or, you know, when I thought about it. Actually, at a young age, I found myself masturbating. And no one, I always thought I was gonna go to hell. I always thought that was something that was dirty, that was nasty, and God was gonna get me, right? And then when we think about money, we never really talk about money in our community. We are taught to humble ourselves and to be givers, but not actually receive or desire or deserve to have any money. And I think all that plays a part when we talk about mental health and the quality of life. So I was excited to reach out to you and see what your thoughts were on some of these topics. And I feel like the whole world has shifted. I mean, there is no secret to that, right? And I think our mindsets also need to shift.
Right along with it. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I am in the season of expansion. I'm in my expansion era. And I felt that it was important to collaborate with someone of your esteem. You know, not just me speaking and not just my thoughts and my opinions, which I often share online openly, but to really sit down with someone who has studied and who has practiced, these ideas with clients. So my first question to you, Dr. Joy, is, in your expertise as a goddess expert and sexologist. Can you shed a little bit of light on the intricate relationships between a woman's sexual health as well as her mental health? How do you think that these interplay when it comes to a woman's life overall? And I shouldn't, now, let me back up real quick. I'm sorry. Initially, I wrote out these questions for you specifically for women, but I do realize that my audience is 95% male lately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So although everything that I do is for the woman, to empower the woman, and because I am a woman, I wrote the question specifically speaking from a woman's point of view, but then I had someone reach out to me last night when I posted something and he was like, hey, don't forget about us men. You know, we need this as well. So with that in mind, I'm sorry I interrupted you. I interrupted your thoughts. But can you answer that question or do I need to repeat it for you?
I can answer the question, and I will say that it would apply to anyone. Now, my area of deep study, I would say, is more around like women, because of women's experience, especially with our sexuality and our sexuality, the expectations are a little bit different, but men also have expectations put upon them. So this is what I'll say about our sex, our finance, or our mental health, like the kind of the connection with this. First of all, with the erotic embodiment that I do, and again, this can be done for anybody, and I have it for women and also for couples, right? So that could include men too. With this space, this is actually a space of empowerment, right? This is a place where we have been told to kind of turn ourselves down, everybody, sensually, sexually, like just kind of keep it somewhere else. Don't talk about this
right
at all. Not even to your closest partner sometimes, right?
Right.
But when I can help a client get to a space where they fully embrace and embody this very natural part of ourselves, right? Because we really minimize pleasure, sexual pleasure, as something that's like a luxury, when it is actually just as important as food, as water, when it comes to like our physical health, our mental health, emotional, spiritual, all those things, right? But when I can get empowered in this space that I was told to be quiet in,
right,
what naturally happens is I get empowered in all the space.
Hello.
Okay. So, yeah. So financially, what happens here, and what I even notice for myself, is like I feel myself, my full self, right? I feel my full flow. Why would I not talk to these people about this idea that I have about this thing and tell them they also need to pay me for it? Why would I not ask for the thing? The thing is, we often do not think that we have the privilege or the right to ask, to simply ask for the thing that we want. And what I have found in my lifetime is, once I started just asking for the thing and saying, hey, this is what I know that I contribute, and what do you think about adding to this or that with me? What do you think about me doing it? The answer literally is always, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How much can we pay you? Yes.
Right.
Yes. And so when you feel that there are no barriers here, you see less barriers in all the areas of your life, and that's why it all grows.
Yes, I love that. I love that answer, because this is what I teach. I talk to women about not only loving themselves and, you know, like I said, self-acceptance and putting your foot down and having confidence to say, I don't like this, or I do like this, or, you know, this is what I desire, and not having any shame, to feel comfortable in your own skin. And like I said, you know, let me just go back and say this. The first time I ever heard about sex or masturbation or orgasm was from my pedophile stepfather. So I have so many things in so many areas. Well, I used to have so many areas where I suppressed who I was. I covered up. I covered up because I was shamed. And there was so much shame surrounding sex that I realized as I got older that not only was I covering up my body with clothes, with food, with all the things, I covered up in every aspect of my life, in career, in education, in the way that I showed up in the world. And that is why, you know, I do what I do. I am so open. I am so, you know, full of myself, because so many years I suppressed all of that. And I realized that there are a lot of women who have experienced some of those same things in the home, where we're told, be quiet, don't tell what happens in this house. And we go through our lives covering up and not showing up in the way that we can be free. And that impacts our mental health. So I'm glad that you hit on that. We often hear about the mind and body connection, but could you explain, you know, as far as, I know we talked about it a little bit in this first question, but mental health and, you know, sexual health and vice versa, like specific patterns or insights you've observed, which you've kind of touched on in your practice, like how does this play in the whole makeup of the mental health with people?
Well, we have stories, just like, so you would have a story from this trauma that you had, right? And so we have, our mental health is basically the health of the story, the script that we have for us, right? And our script identifies us. We could have been identified as the smart one, as the fat one, as the jock, as the slow one, as the one who's gonna be successful, as the one who's never gonna make it, whatever it is. And then we move throughout our lives. As human beings, we look for evidence to support stories that we think are true.
Right.
We'll ignore these other things, right? And so our mental health is pretty much wrapped up in, what do I keep focusing on? And so it is unhealthy when the focus is consistently, I'm focusing on this belief, this idea of not enoughness.
Right.
Of lack, of shame, of my sex, my sexuality, my sensuality is something dirty. It's something where, it's a space where I have no autonomy.
Right.
I have no say, I have no independence. And so that story is not healthy. It's an unhealthy mental state to be in, right? So the connect, we are able to rewrite the story or uncover the true, essential, authentic story of your sexuality and your desire, right? Your desire outside of what someone told you that you were supposed to and not supposed to want. When you can feel confident in that, you then again, you are changing the story or the script that is feeding into your mental health, and therefore you are healthier because you're creating a healthier story. So if I continue to find partners or engage in things that are sexually just re-identifying a trauma, right? That is affecting my mental health. It's keeping it where it was, which was unhealthy. But if I side of that box and dare to be whatever it is I want to be and encompass the type of sexuality, kink, whatever it is that makes me feel good, even transmuting some of the things. People feel like when you're in, even in the kink community, that you're in there because some traumatic thing happened, and that's possible. But sometimes what happens is you're being empowered in this thing where, even if it was the same type of situation that happened, I still get to say yes, no. I still get to choose how much. I still get to choose when I get up, when I come, all the things. So there is such an empowerment in sometimes replaying an old story and playing it out differently, where you are the hero in that story. And that contributes to our mental health. When I can find that power in my sexuality, I'm no longer disempowered there.
Do you find that in your practice with couples that a lot of maybe their sexual relationship or their sexual health suffers a lot because of those stories of the past?
Absolutely. Either the past or our cultural stories. You know, many of our cultural stories, like you were mentioning before, like I'm gonna go to hell. God doesn't like this, right? Mm-hmm. So if I have a sexual story that all the things that are my actual desires, I shouldn't be ashamed of, and then I get into a relationship with somebody who either shares my culture, my religion, or they share my trauma somehow in that way, I'm going to continue to perpetuate that, right? Or maybe I'm with someone who doesn't share it and they're confused and they want to explore. I feel pressured by them to expand past a point that I'm afraid of because I've had so much shame. And then what happens with my partner is they are feeling rejected for even suggesting you come outside that box. You know, they're not looking at it as this is your issue, your trauma. They just know you keep saying no. they just know you keep shutting them down, which can then cause issues for them around, like, am I not desired? Is that why they don't want to explore this thing with me? Because I want to explore everything with them. So I see a lot of incongruency with couples where someone has a trauma that they haven't found a way to move through, and the other partner is trying to do it, but you can't just do it without some sort of awareness as to where this pain and this stop and this barrier is coming from. So I see that a lot.
Yeah. So that kind of goes into, you know, the next question that I was going to ask you is the taboos. And you talked a little bit about the kinks and, you know, how we all we create these things, or we live these things. I shouldn't say we create these things, because a lot of what we experience is based on the stories of the past or the stories that are still playing within us. And you know, it affects every area. So let's talk about money. How does that play in us receiving money? Because in my opinion, this is just my opinion, if you are not open to receive love, if you're not open to express your desire sexually, that is going to play a huge part in you being able to accept in the money area, right? And then another thing, I'm sorry, let me go off script for a minute. And let me just ask you this. Mm-hmm. How did you, I don't know what your background is, but when you tell people in your family that you're a sexologist or that you practice this or you practice that, did you receive any scrutiny from your people?
you know, our folks are funny. If I did, they did it behind my back.
Okay.
They're always scrutiny. Everything I do receives scrutiny because I'm very different from my family. My family one side of my family owns funeral homes.
Okay.
And a part of this process is you have to be usually in the church.
Yeah.
So most of my uncles are pastors who are, you know, doing Bible study every single week with their second or third wife, whatever. Anyway, so it's, yes, there's scrutiny, right? Even me practicing meditation, there's scrutiny.
Yes.
That. So, yeah, all of it. And all the stuff that I was about to talk about, like energetically, like there's always scrutiny, but it's okay. Who are closest to me, I would say my sister. My big sister is like my biggest fan, my best friend. She, to me, because my mother died when I was quite young, so she to me is like a second mom. And so, you know, she's the one, if I'm going to tell someone something and I might feel a way, I'm concerned about what she's going to say, right?
Okay.
And so I have been very blessed for her to be a very blunt person, but a very, very loving person. And so when I came to her about my relationship dynamics, being a sexologist, all the things, right? Which is very interesting, is like, oh, you're pretty much living out all the things your mother wanted to live but couldn't because we were under this regime of strictness.
Yes.
I think I saw her wear pants twice in her life, right? Like,
wow.
We wore suits, and like, that's just who we were. We were very much the uppity family. I mean, we were very buttoned up. And so I'm the one who has exploded, and I'm doing all the things that all the family members wish they could, but you know, on the outside, they have to be like, oh, you know, clutching pearls all day. So yes, they're scrutiny.
Yeah, and the reason why I ask you that is because I used to be heavy in the church as well. Pretty much an indoctrination, right? So I grew up in the church, in the Baptist church, and I also felt a certain level of, it was hard for me to now present myself as this sexual being, like this goddess, you know? They're like, oh girl, what are you doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? You know, they weren't able to understand. And then I wasn't able to fully show up because I was worried about what they were gonna say or what they were gonna think. So even now, I am still practicing being comfortable in my own skin. And that's why, for me, someone who is as confident as I am, I realize that there are so many women out there who do not have a voice and who are still stuck under those regimes and in those indoctrinations, and they don't know how to allow themselves to be free, to be who they are.
Yeah.
So That was important for me to kind of go off script and ask you that question. But as we move over into financial health, which is another crucial aspect of your personal health, because of course, you know, when you broke, you ain't feeling top notch.
I don't feel sexy.
Yeah, you don't feel sexy. You don't feel, you know, so let's talk a little bit about money. Can you elaborate on the connection between mental health and financial stability? And how might, you know, sexual health indirectly influence the financial decisions and success?
Yeah. So when we look at something we call it Maslow's pyramid, right? There's this pyramid of our life's needs, and the bottom part is going to be like our survival, right? And so finance is going to be there. So you can't really enjoy the other things, like the play, right? Until you know you can eat and you have shelter. Like these other things don't really do it for you. You can't get into like basically self-actualization. You can't be your full self because we need to have that security. So when we don't have that, the way that it affects our mental health is it shuts down that part of us that does need play and pleasure. And again, as I was speaking before, that it's really required for our full health. So we won't even really embrace it a lot of times if I'm so stressed out about how am I going to eat today. Not to say some of us don't just go ahead and like have sex so we can feel better and not think about it, but that's at a certain level of you do have a little bit of security. You might say I'm broke, but you have some level of security. But at certain levels of security, you can't even think about pleasure. It's all about how am I going to live, right? It's the hustle. And so that hampers just a whole portion of our body. You think about when you touch, just like I'm touching my thigh right now, right? And just that feeling is such a nice, soft feeling. Just little spaces in our body. There's so all these erogenous zones, all these zones for our sensations. That literally gets turned off when I'm in hypervigilance and anxiety. What am I going to do? I can't experience it. There is no pleasure without presence. And I cannot be present if I don't feel secure and I don't feel safe. If I feel like there's something else I have to do, there's something else I have to achieve. So you lose out on that whole pleasure sense. But the interesting connection with it, to get energetic with it, when I practice sacred sex, and I teach my clients things around, like I said, erotic embodiment and tantra and that kind of thing, energetically bringing things to us. And I know you talk about manifesting as well, but I mean, you literally can manifest, right? When you raise energy in a certain space, in a certain way, you can manifest the finances coming to you, the love coming to you, the whatever it is. Health together, and I'm raising my energy and my vibration and my frequency, and I am allowing myself to recognize that this vessel of mine is here to experience pleasure. And where else can I experience pleasure in life? What else can I have in life, right? When I raise that kind of thing, and you're talking about that receiving mode, that puts you in that receiving mode to receive all the things that you want. So they're connected. If you keep that energy going, we can keep this energy flowing over here.
Okay, so that sounds to me like you also believe in sex magic. So can you explain to those in the audience who may not know about manifesting through sex? Can you explain that a little bit?
I'll try to explain a little bit.
I hit you with a curveball. Okay.
We look at sexual energy as really all energy.
Right.
I don't walk around saying all energy, sexual energy, because y'all ain't ready for that, right? But like that's really what it is. Right. Different ways it manifests in different ways. So from that aspect of all energy is sex energy. All energy is also, it can be sacred, it can be divine, right? If we are connected to our divine self and to things all energetically, it's about us being able to transmute things, right? So with sex magic or sacred sex, what we're identifying is that if I can transmute this energy here, and everything is energy, I am pulling towards me exactly what I just now created, right? What I put out into the world. So if I feel like I'm putting out something that is big, that is pleasurable, that is connected to everything divine, that is everything that's flowing, then I'm saying I have the power for everything to transmute and flow the way that I want it to. It's just a matter of, where am I focusing the energy? What am I focusing on? Because we can decide to focus on lack, we can focus on abundance. And when we're looking at the reality we're looking at right now, we're looking at the things we've already manifested, right? So it can't be about the circumstance I have right now. You already thought about that before, that's why you see it right now, right? Mm-hmm. So it's about, what do I wanna think about now? What do I wanna create in my future? And so sex just happens to be such a potent energy to work with, because we can, if I get present, I can feel all of it. I can feel it moving through my whole body with my breath. There's different visualizations. Again, if you are tantric and things like that, we're looking at like Kundalini activation, which is like, you know, moving energy through your chakras and building them, opening up these energy spaces and allowing these things to pour in. And I know I'm like saying a whole lot of stuff. It's kind of hard to explain sex magic or sacred sex. I mean, you really got to read about it. Like, it's a whole thing, but it's idea that all energy is sexual energy, and we just manifest it in different ways. It shows up in different ways, right? It glows off of you in different ways.
Honey, I know. And we both know, because that's another thing, you know, the word glow is in both of our businesses. And I was like, this is definitely divine right here. can you give some examples or some rituals or some things that individuals can begin to practice to allow themselves to be free in their bodies and express themselves? Like, for beginners, because I don't know. Beginners. For those who are ready to give themselves permission to come out of the box, come out of the shell, and begin to live and love, you know, themselves on another level. Can you give some practices that they can start with?
Absolutely. So deep breathing is going to be my go-to for everybody, almost for anything, because connecting, just having that practice of connecting with your breath, it seems simple, but I guarantee you about 75% of people on here don't connect with their breath.
Right.
If you were to stop in the middle of the day, you will probably notice that you have some shallow breathing, okay? And it's because we are thinking about so many things. We have these worries and things like that. But what we want to accomplish is really getting our nervous system, like, back regulated. We want to be centered. We want to be in touch with ourselves. So just simply having a practice, it could be in the morning, in the evening, or whenever you feel like you need to activate this, of sitting down, closing your eyes, and I don't even want to say a super duper visualization, just a regular following the path of your breath.
Right.
Allowing yourself to just literally sit and follow the path of where your breath is going in your body. What's it touching in your body? What's it melting in your body? What's it activating in your body, right? Really being present. It doesn't matter if you have music on, if you have something guided, if you just have some sounds, if you're sitting outside, inside, just allowing yourself to go in and feel where this prana, this life force, which is our breath, where is this moving through my body, right? And as long as I'm breathing, I'm present, I'm here, I'm alive, I'm open to opportunities, I'm open to experience, I'm open to more pleasure. My body can roll with more and more and more pleasure, because as long as your breath can keep going, you can keep going. There is no end. You put a limit on what we're able to experience. And it took me being with really different energies, different lovers, different people who they were in different spaces, to even allow myself, my body, to experience things that I thought wasn't possible. But it was really about being present and following the path of my breath, following the path of my pleasure, and allowing it to just kind of dance around me and then grow from there. So that's a very simple one. Just sitting down and starting to practice, feeling your whole body through following the path of your breath.
Yeah, you know, and I totally agree, because I do this simple thing that people may or may not think of, but right there behind me on the floor, I have a glass door and the sun shines through that glass door. And I lay my yoga mat down there in the morning and I just lay with the sun shining on my head and I have my music playing. And I just visualize, and it, to me, it's orgasmic. It, I know it's like I'm plugging in my cell phone. It's like I'm plugging myself in to get my day started. That sun.
Ignites joy and passion and ease, right? And not this resistance, not this pushing, not this struggling. Where do you have ease in your life? Do more of that where you have ease. Embrace more of that. Believe that you deserve more of that, and that will flow into all the other areas. When you're just speaking to yourself and you're saying, I'm allowed to have this, even in this space, and you see yourself having it, and you see yourself having it more and more, it's going to spill over into everything. Yes, I'm allowed to hit the promotion. Yes, I'm allowed to apply for that job. Yes, I'm allowed to start this business. Yes, my business is me being beautiful, and that's my life. Yes, I'm allowed to do that. It just grows, and it grows, and it grows, and that's what you do. Find where that bliss is. It can be a small spot. Sometimes you can feel so overwhelmed and frustrated by something, and we let that thing, right? We're looking at that circumstance that, like I said, we already manifested that. We're looking at it, and we're like, that's the only thing, but it's not. When we just practice simple gratitude, we are able to switch around and like realize there are other things going on that I'm abundant. Maybe this doesn't look the way that I thought it was supposed to. And this is how human suffering happens. It's the space between exactly what I want to have, right? And what's actually happening. And it's like, okay, this is suffering, but what about these 17 other things that could happen? These amazing, beautiful opportunities that could happen. And because we don't just pivot and turn a little bit, we stay in the suffering. So if we can like release outcome and we can look at what is working, like I said, where do I have joy? Where do I have ease? How do I multiply that? It's going to spill over into all of the areas.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't know. For me, it took me many, many, many years to understand that I don't have to struggle in order to be successful, in order to thrive, like in order to have what I want. It doesn't always have to come with me fighting and struggling and having to go through it the hard way. But because that was the only way that I learned how to do it, it was hard for me to shake that. So I, you know, sometimes it's easier said than done, Dr. Joy. Where can they start? Where can they start? Like, if I want to start today to just reprogram my mind, what can I do? What do you suggest I do?
So here's, because I am a mindfulness meditation maven person, I'm going to be all about my meditations and my affirmations. So if you could grab an affirmation meditation today, it can be short, it can be long, that you can sit in to affirm the things that a part of you knows is still true about you, about your situation, but you really wanted to live, you wanted to be more alive in your mind. Start utilizing that. You can use this, like I said, in the morning. I like nighttime meditations, honestly, and I sleep all through the night when I have something like that. But something that's going to help you to start rewiring the thoughts. So we have, like I said before, we have a script, we have a story, we have a narrative, right? And it really, it sticks with us. So a belief is just a thought that I had over and over and over again. So somebody either said something to you over and over and over again, or you said it to yourself over and over, and so you decided it was true. I'm not enough here. I can't do this, right? So we cannot just turn off thoughts or beliefs, right? But what we can do is we can add the ones that really do align with who I realize I am right now, and we can start affirming those. So it's like we've been playing side A of the tape for all these years. So now it is my job to fill up side B. Side A was default, right? So if I play side B enough and I add stuff on side B enough, that will become my default. But I have to practice it. I have to make it a ritual. So we have to be intentional about affirming what your story is from this moment going forward, because you get to pick what it is. You get to get up every morning and decide who I'm going to be, how I'm going to be, what I'm going to focus on, and just go from there. Every single morning you get up, that's the blessing right there. You get to choose again and again.
I love it. I love it. I love you. Thank you so much, Dr. Joy, for sitting with us and sharing your time, sharing your expertise. Where can people find you? What are your channels? What are you doing? What's going on with you?
Yeah. What's going on? This summer, I finally birthed my baby. So there's a couple places. Of course, Glow Your Goddess. And I'm going to have information on there around like dating, relationships, polyamory, sexology, all the things. And from there, because I really have dropped into the erotic embodiment and really helping with their sensuality, I have also started Glow Your Goddess Yoga. So that has a page of its own. And as of, I believe, last week, we now have an on-demand video library with sensual yoga, with the actually some of the meditations and affirmations that I'm talking about, with the things that help you activate being comfortable with your self-pleasure, with being able to ask for the type of pleasure that you want to have, really connecting with your desires. And so this is something that either women or couples can utilize to also help with their intimacy, to get closer and not have to feel pressure around performance or the end game of orgasm, because sex is a whole thing in between, right? So those are the places that people can find me. So going to glowyourgoddessyoga.com also, you'll be able to have access to that library. But I'm excited that you reached out. When I saw your name, when I saw your page, when I saw your glow and your sun goddessness, I was like, oh, absolutely. I love it. I absolutely love it. I love what you're doing. So I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you so much. And maybe, you know, we can talk again on another subject really soon. I would really be honored to discuss more, because there is so much more, you know, as far as embodiment is concerned. So for you guys who have been on my page and you know me, I want to open myself up. Actually, I'm opening myself up to receive. Oh, they want to know what your yoga site is.
I'm putting it right now.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm opening myself up, and hopefully I can begin to attract more women into my practice. But for those of you who do not know, I have also decided or begun at the start of the summer, I went on tour to do this erotic tantric massage tour. And it was amazing. And it's pretty much, you know, the same thing, you know, allowing people to be intimate with themselves. For many years, I was so stiff and I couldn't even really feel good when people touched me, you know? So this was something that I wanted to do, not only for me, but for those out there who also needed to open up and feel more intimate with themselves. So I love that. So I'm doing that, you guys. I will be in South Carolina, 16th and the 17th. I will be in Mexico on the... Anyway, my schedule is listed on my page and on my website. So if you guys are interested in that, then please, you know, go and apply. I also have my skincare products that I want to talk to you about. We have some new items on the God Glow Face and Body website. We have our customer favorite tea tree eucalyptus body wash. We have our cashmere coochie body oil, as well as the sweet punani body oil. Those are new items that are up on the website. You guys know how to reach me at mothegoddess.com. If you have any questions about anything, if you have any suggestions on topics that we can talk about next time, I am so open. Hit my DMs. And thank you again, Dr. Joy. I really, really do appreciate your time. And anybody, you guys have questions?
Oh, yeah, I guess we should have.
Does anyone have any questions? Thank you for putting your website there. Am I able to pin it? I don't think I'm able to pin it.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't think I can.
I don't see any questions, but we're open to questions before we log out. Yes, it's very hot in Las Vegas. Very hot in Las Vegas.
This heat thing is serious everywhere. I mean, I was supposed to go to the beach tomorrow. I really feel like it's gonna be a pile of chocolate if I go out there. I don't know.
You think you're gonna melt? So somebody says, I agree. I do deep breathing myself and with my clients. Shanti says that. Okay, I don't see any questions, but if you guys have any questions, you have Dr. Joy's information. I'm sure she'd be open to answering your questions, and I definitely am open to any questions you might have. Do I still live in Bali? Yes, I'll be going back home to Bali in January. Yes. Yeah, so...
Most of your time in Bali?
Well, yeah, the past 3 years I've been in Bali. I left Bali and went to Turkey, and I stayed in Turkey, and then I came back here because I had a new granddaughter that I hadn't even met, so I came back to Las Vegas so that I could spend time with my grandbabies and my babies.
I want to be you when I grow up. I'm just going to keep paying attention. Okay, I got it.
Girl, I want to be you when I grow up.
I love it.
So much to do, you know, and that goes back to the mental health aspect of this, right? Once you allow yourself to be free, once you give yourself permission to pleasure, I like that. Yes. Permission to pleasure. That could be a course. Permission to pleasure, then you open yourself up to every aspect of what's available to you. And I've always wanted to travel. I've always wanted to explore. And I'm like, why not? Why not? What am I waiting for? I work online. You know, I could do this anywhere. So what is holding me in this one place? And I allowed myself to be free and started to live my life. Because guess what? We only get one, right?
Yes, we do. I'm excited. See, look, now I'm going to have to call you after we get off the call. Because now, all the questions. But I'm absolutely loving it. I didn't realize how much you were traveling. And even though I see what you're doing and I see the life you're living. And I love your post when you were talking about your, really, just like the life you're living for being this beautiful sun goddess that you are. Like, yes, and why not, right? Like, and why not? So, I love you showing that to however many women are on your platform. And I know that there are several women who are from my platform who are right now, like who are watching or going to watch this later. But I want people to really be able to see that we are absolutely limitless. We have the limit ourselves, right? But there's nothing that you can't have and do. Nothing. Right. Nothing. So I love that. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Yes. Well, you have an amazing rest of your day. And I will speak to you again soon.
Yes. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.